The Maker's House Chapel International presents Destiny Word with Dr. Michael Brady Damichek. As a child of God, you are mandated to take territory and fulfill your destiny. Destiny Word is designed to help illuminate your path towards a purpose-driven life. Please stay tuned for the unadulterated Word of God, a word that not only brings focus to your life, but also helps you navigate the challenges that comes your way.
Psalm 37, the verse number 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Let's read it together. I want to read it with you. Let's read it together. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Over the past couple of weeks, I've been coming to you with what I call, or what has been termed, the deadly sins. What others also call the cardinal sins. We started with that of pride, we told you, and I think I can remember that I shared with you that pride happens to be the mother of all evil. Everything that humanity had ever encountered or gotten themselves into, whatever they had done, had been as a result of pride. Pride is when a man arrogates unto himself the powers that are supposed to be God's. Pride is when a man begins to position himself on a pedestal that almost like equates him with God. Pride, according to some of the philosophers that had been there from of old, they called it in the Latin rendition, covatus in se. When you cave yourself within the confines of a certain parameters that you set for yourself, and you cave within it, and you begin to live as though that is the only world that you have, that's the only place that you can be. Pride, I told you, that the only antidote for pride is humility, from the Latin word humilitas, which also means the ground, from humus, of course, etymologically, which means the earth or the ground. And so if you want to overcome pride, you need to go to the ground, you need to go down, you need to humble yourself. Humility happens to be what is the very signature of God. If you have Christ living on the inside of you, you can't have Christ and walk in pride. Because he represents everything called humility. For although he was God, he still humbled himself even to the point of death, the death on the cross. He was able to bring himself to that human state and share in our frailties, and yet without sin, of course. But pride is something that bespeaks of the devil. Show me a man that walks in pride, and I will show you a man that has signed a pact with darkness. Show me a man that walks in that high level of arrogance and does not respect people, care about people, think about people, honor people, respect and love people. And I'll show you a man that has signed a pact or has gotten into an agreement or contractual agreement or a covenant relationship with the devil. Show me a man that walks in humility, and I'll show you a man after the heart of God, a man that knows God, a man that is walking in revelation. Show me a man that walks with God, and I'll show you a man that walks in humility. I keep saying that for me, if I meet anybody and the person is struggling to exhibit humility, I begin to question the source of his strength and his spirituality. It's clouded under that, it's shrouded in doubts. I can't really imagine how somebody who claims to be with God, claims to be for God, claims to be born again, will walk on those lines in those realms of arrogance. When you arrogate unto yourself the divine prerogatives, when you arrogate unto yourself what is supposed to be God's, we say that that person is walking in pride. We moved on from there, and last week I shared with you that of envy, invidia. I shared with you envy, and envy is when a man begins to look at somebody and is consumed by the fact that he feels, he believes he deserves, he's in a better place or he's better place to occupy a position. And so whoever is occupying that position does not deserve it, does not merit it. But again, if you are to look at it critically, then you have to ask yourself, if a man walks in envy, the man is questioning not just the sovereignty, but the wisdom of God. Because what you are telling God is that, God, I don't think you are smart enough. I thought you were smart, God. I thought you were smart. Why have you lifted that lady? Why have you lifted that man? Because that is the same thing that envy, those are the questions that envy asks. Envy is saying that I deserve it, that person doesn't deserve it. Envy is when a man is able to say that, no, I'm the one that is supposed to be on top, and it is not the other person. Envy is when you walk in that realm of belittling everybody and elevating yourself, and you think that you are better placed or you deserve something, and any other person walking in any other form of provision or providence doesn't deserve what they have. Actually, it was said that the worst form of envy is what they call clericalus, invidia clericalus. The worst form of envy is that we call invidia clericalus. That's the worst form of envy. Invidia clericalus, invidia clericalus, the worst form of envy. And if you're to look at it, you're saying that the worst form of envy is the envy amongst men who are in cassock. It's priestly envy, where men and women who are supposed to be serving God and doing the things of God, instead of them walking, loving God, and doing the work of God, walking in the tenets, the precepts, and the dimensions that God has set them to follow, they walk in envy. And why is it that man? And why is that man? Why is that lady? Why is it that bishop? Why is it that apostle? Why is that prophet? And it's that kind of envy. Many, many years ago, they said the worst form of envy is invidia clericalis, because as if they were talking to my generation, where we don't celebrate other people for the successes and the greatness that God will place on their lives. And when God is lifting anybody, you'll find another pastor condemning a pastor, a preacher condemning a preacher, apostle condemning another apostle, a bishop condemning another bishop. We walk in that form, and it is a sheer demonstration of envy. And I keep asking myself, if you can condemn somebody you have not prayed for, you don't even deserve to talk about them. Never condemn, never judge a soul you haven't prayed for. If you think that man of God is going wayward, it is your duty, a set man of God, and intercede and pray. The Bible says that if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. What is God telling you, child of God? He's telling you that what is required of you is to turn from that wicked way, lift up your voice and pray. The Bible says, and therefore let the priest forsake the altars, and let the priest weep between the porch and the altar, and say, spare your people. If anybody is going wayward as a child of God, instead of you condemning them, lift up your voice and pray for them. And when somebody is being lifted by God, what God requires from you is your ability to lift the person up and be happy for people. Be happy when God is blessing somebody. Be happy for your neighbor if that neighbor is getting a blessing from God. For after all, they say that if God is blessing your neighbor, then it means God is in the neighborhood. And so instead of you being envious of your neighbor, walk in admiration, walk in love, walk in appreciation. Instead of you condemning another person and envying them, love them. A lot of us can walk in love. We can't admire. We can't appreciate. When God is lifting somebody up, we cannot appreciate. And the problem is, why is it that person and not me? Maybe let me sermonically postulate that oftentimes God is the controller of times and seasons. And if God is allowing somebody to experience a divine flourishing, it is because God is preparing yours in the oven of heaven. And when it is ready, God will serve it hard. Instead of you being envious of another person, walk in admiration. When you celebrate God for what he's doing in other people's lives, you are telling God, I have capacity to carry more. Let me rewind and press play. Anytime you're able to celebrate God for what he's doing in the lives of other people, what you are telling God is that, God, that is a blessing. I thank you for it, but I have the capacity to carry more. And anytime you celebrate, what you don't celebrate, you can't attract. The reason why you have been envying people all your life and yet there is no breakthrough coming your way is because envy does not bring. Envy dispels. Envy drives away. Envy throws away. Envy throws things out of the window. If you truly want elevation, exaltation, if you want to mount with the wings like that of the eagle, if you want to soar on eagle's wings, if you want to do well in your time, you are not supposed to walk in envy. You are not supposed to walk in pride. Instead of walking in pride, you walk in humility. Instead of walking in envy, you walk in admiration. You admire. Today, I want to bring you to my sermon of the day to walk you through another cardinal, another head, capital, another sin that I believe that all of us have to watch. All of us, everybody, whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're anointed or dejected, whatever you are, this is something that can eat the very fabric of the human soul. And the next cardinal or deadly sin I want to talk about today is that of anger. Anger is when somebody, St. Thomas Aquinas, defined anger as the state of a man whereby he is overly, or he is consumed with a passion for revenge such that it goes beyond any room for reason. He says that when we say somebody is angry, the person numbs his ability to reason and is only consumed by the passion for revenge. All that he wants to do, anger, will make you do things. Anger was defined by St. Thomas Aquinas to be that kind of obsession for revenge, that it's like you are possessed with a spirit that will not let you rest until you have gained vengeance on whoever wronged you. Of course, there is righteous indignation, or what we call the holy anger. Of course, there are things that we say are right to be angry about. Of course, if you are not doing well in class, you can be angry with yourself. That is a good anger. So let me put it right so that you don't lump everything together and serve it cold. No, there can be a holy anger, an anger that is not pleased with mediocrity. That when you get to a place, or when you are leading a corporation, or when you're doing something and things are not right, you are not happy, you are not comfortable, you don't just settle because they said you should settle. No, when we say that, that is called holy indignation or righteous indignation. That is an indignation that is right because you are not ready to settle for the less. But that is not my preoccupation for today. My preoccupation is not to talk about righteous indignations. It's not to talk about holy anger or wrath. It's not to talk about the wrath or the anger that brings that cry, that rallies troop to tell them, let us go, let us pursue, let us overtake, and let us possess and recover all. That's not the kind of anger I'm talking about. I'm talking about the anger that seeks vengeance, that will want to destroy, the anger that kills people, the anger that destroys relationship. You get into a family, and for 10 years, for 20 years, for 50 years, for 30 years, siblings don't talk. There is that sibling rivalry, and that has escalated into that deep sense of anger and hatred between brothers, between sisters, that they don't even talk to each other. That is evil. That is what I came to talk about today. That anger that you see somebody and you wish that a car had even knocked a person down and killed the person instantly. That kind of anger is what I'm talking about. The anger that makes people do the unthinkable. Because when the spirit of anger takes hold of somebody, it is more than an obsession. It is an obsession that will never leave the soul of that person until the evil is done. Anger has led many great people into the early graves or destruction. Countless number of people are serving jail time now because of 5 minutes of uncontrollable anger. Somebody has been sentenced to life imprisonment. Somebody has been sentenced to death. Somebody has been sent to the electric chair. Somebody has been sent to the next world, the afterlife, through lethal injection. There are things that have happened, and if you are to consider and ponder upon the issues, you realize that was just 5 minutes of madness. A philosopher once said, and probably let me quote to you, he said, of all the bonds that keep money chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. Let me rewind and probably press play. He said, of all the bonds that keep money chains, man is able to free himself when self-control he gains. What is this man that's all this all-thinking paradigm telling us in this modern day that all the bonds that keep man in chains, man is able to free. Listen, because of that lack of self-control to let anger dissipate from the souls of people, men have killed wives, men have killed children, wives had killed husbands, wives had killed children. There are people, a brother had killed a brother, a sister had killed a sister, a pastor killed another pastor because of congregation. Anger will kill you. Demons get excited when humans open the doors, the portals for them to enter with that evil tendency called anger. Anger will cause you to lose what God has for you. Anger will cause you to move away from the pathways of God. Anger will cause you to lose what God has for you. Do you know how many people lost marriage? The husband did something and the woman could not control herself and out of anger said things that were horrible. And now the cracks cannot even be patched up again. Anger will cause you to do the unthinkable. That's what anger is able to do. But I came to tell you, child of God, that if there is any spirit of anger that is manipulating your life from today, in the name of Jesus, we break that spirit from your life right now. May that never have a hold on your life again. That anger, any man that has come around you to marry you, you display, sometimes it's almost like you become a drama queen and you put your acting skills on trial. You go for an audition with your acting skills and you can act crazily, and nobody loves crazy. Nobody marries crazy. Why should I marry crazy? Why should I get myself involved with a woman that when she loses her temper or her cool, she can even break a bottle and stab me with it? That's what anger is able to do. Anger will cause you to lose your sense of reasoning. And so it's not that the woman is a murderer, but as at that time, something has possessed that man. Something has possessed that woman. He will break a bottle and he doesn't care. Anger will make you say things that after saying it, probably when you come to yourself, you wonder, did I really say that? Was I the person who said it? I didn't mean it. And once words had been spoken into the ears of other men or other women, you can't take them back. Anger has caused people to lose jobs. Anger has caused people to lose wives. Anger has caused people to lose husbands. Anger has caused people to lose parents. I was just watching a documentary. Some inmates, old people that were serving jail time. One of them was 100 years plus. 103 years old, was in jail when he was about less than 20, was in his teens, has been in jail for about 80 years, doesn't have any idea of what the world is, how the world is going, what the world is about. His safest bet, his best bet is seeing what TV and cameras will show him. 80 years in prison. What happened? He fought over something very trivial. Anger will cause you to do the unthinkable. But there is a way out. If you are battling with anger, we have the deadly sins and we have what we call the life virtues. So to the deadly sin of anger, the life virtue is forgiveness. No matter how somebody has offended you, I understand. Sometimes some people deserve that rage, that anger. There are people that they really deserve it because you can tell how malicious, how they could cook a story and they could sell the story. And people that even respected you, they were able to undermine you before them. And these people, it's very difficult to forgive them. And you deserve to be angry. The book of Ephesians says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't give room for evil. Listen, child of God, to forgive simply means to carry the burden of the other person.
Can I explain to you, child of God? These weeks, I want to take my time, walk you through some of these cardinal principles of life. Because I believe these are things that will make us better people, better Christians. That will make us walk in love and in the light of God Almighty. When you are able to carry the burden of the next person, we say that you are forgiving. You see, let me try to help you understand with my hands the burden or the concept of forgiveness. So forgiveness is when this left hand has offended this right hand, and the right hand believes that they need to patch up. And so the right hand initiates a patching up. Now, forgiveness will mean that even if the left hand is not meeting you halfway to bring reconciliation, to bring peace, you will say that I have moved, but I'll go the extra mile. That's the same thing that God did for us. That in that whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Forgiveness is when somebody has done evil, somebody has done something that is horrible, somebody has gone wayward, somebody has done something that is seemingly unpardonable, and yet you say that God forgave me and I choose to forgive somebody else. I will not allow the anger, the offshoots of the person's actions and inactions to lead me to do evil. Don't forget the Lord's Prayer. When Jesus was teaching them how to pray, the disciples had come to Jesus and said unto him, Master, teach us how to pray. And he said, when ye pray, he showed them. And he said, say that forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Listen, child of God, I know that there are people who don't deserve your forgiveness. What they did, cruel. What mom did was horrible. What dad did was horrible. What that son of yours did was horrible. That daughter of yours showed you gross disrespect. Husband disrespected you. Your wife disrespected you. Your friends, your colleagues, people in your workspace and all of that. There had been disrespect. Your pastor, your leaders, wherever. You can face them from everywhere. You only have two choices. It is either you allow anger to be the smoke that gets into your eyes, gets into your ears, gets into your nose, that gets into your mouth, that even when you choose to speak, you begin to sputter. Or you can choose to vent, to open the doors for that thick smoke to leave you. Come back to Scripture. Psalm 37, verse number 8. And I read to you, cease from anger and forsake it. So if you are somebody who was walking in anger, the wise man David, the anointed man David, is telling all of us that let us cease from anger. Cease from anger. And when it comes to your anger, your wrath, forsake it. Everybody can be angry, but forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't get yourself into any realm, any place, on any position that makes doing evil a possibility because you allowed anger and wrath to permeate your soul. Do you know how many people are struggling even until now? Because they have not been able to forgive their neighbors yet. He says, cease from it. I came this morning to share with you this word of God. And if there is anything that I want you to go with, if there is anything I want you to live with, it is this wisdom. Child of God, don't walk in anger. Cease from wrath. Do not give yourself any occasion to do evil. For wrath and anger had spelled the destruction of many great men. Maybe you have to take a walk to the correctional facilities in your country. If you are in Ghana, probably just get some of the records of what sent people to jail, and you realize that most of them were
were avoidable. 5 minutes of anger, 5 minutes of wrath can burn a city, can burn a nation. I want you to go before God right now and ask for his help. Now, Lord, I don't want to walk with anger. I want to walk in forgiveness. Therefore, Lord, visit me. Help me to overcome any form of anger. Lift your voice. Pray. Right now. The Lord, help me to overcome. Help me to get out. Help me to overcome. Help me to walk in forgiveness. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice, child of God. 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 Let's walk in a great form sense of forgiveness. No matter what the offense is, there is no offense that is unpardonable. The Lord can pardon. The Lord can pardon. The Lord can pardon. The Lord can pardon. Come on. Release them from your heart. Don't let anger to consume your soul. Don't allow anger to get the better part of you. Release them.
Thank you, Holy Ghost.
I want to pray with you, child of God. Father,
Jesus,
I pray,
amen,
that the spirit of anger,
Jesus,
will not exact on your people.
Amen.
Let anger dissipate.
Amen.
Let it disappear.
Amen.
Cause us, oh God,
Jesus,
to walk,
amen,
in forgiveness.
Amen.
That we can forgive,
Jesus,
even as you forgive us.
Yes, Lord.
That anger will not lead us,
amen,
to do the unthinkable.
Amen.
Visit us, oh God.
Jesus.
Bless your people.
Amen.
I pray,
Jesus,
let the power of the Holy Ghost,
amen,
rest on each and every one of us.
Amen.
That we'll be able to exhibit,
Jesus,
those life virtues or divine qualities.
Yes, Lord.
The mighty name of the resurrected Lamb, Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Destiny Word by Dr. Michael Bwedi Nyamiche. We believe you have been impacted to fulfill your purpose. For more transformative and uplifting teachings from Dr. Nyamiche, kindly join us at the Maker's House Chapel International Destiny Arena, adjacent the School of Nuclear and Allied Sciences. Join any of our services, Sunday Word from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m., teaching service on Wednesdays from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., and our flagship program, Morning Aura, on Saturdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. to engage in prayer and experience the supernatural. You can also be part of our online services, Command Your Morning, every weekday from 4:45 a.m. to 6 a.m. and Power Up Your Week every Sunday from 11:30 p.m. to 12:30 p.m. on our social media platforms. For more information about our ministry, you can reach out to us on 020-004-7488 or 026-681-3275. Additionally, visit our website at www.themakershouse.org. God bless you abundantly as you journey towards your destiny with courage and faith. Destiny Word. Be empowered to take territories and fulfill destinies.